Today, on this episode of the PureDirect Special Spotlight.
The biggest takeaway for me was that our field, our retina field, is moving away from just reacting to the condition, diagnosing the condition, looking at the imaging modalities, and then treat the patient, to earlier diagnosis, earlier treatment, longer acting treatment options to reduce the burden of treatment, reduce the burden of disease.
Today, Drs. Yu and Amami join the podcast to discuss key themes from the 49th Annual Macular Society meeting in this PureDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hello, I'm Glenn Yu. I'm a professor of ophthalmology at the University of California, Davis, here in Sacramento, California.
And I'm Parisa Amami. I'm an associate professor of ophthalmology, also at the University of California, Davis, here in Sacramento, California.
Thanks for joining us. It's only been a few days since the 49th annual Macular Society meeting, and there was a lot of important data presented. We saw meaningful advances in imaging, new treatment approaches, and insights that could directly impact how we care for patients. I'm looking forward to highlighting some of the key takeaways. Ready to start, Parisa?
Absolutely.
I think it's been a few days since the meeting, as we said. And what do you think? How do you feel the meeting went? Like, did you, what was the vibe of the meeting?
It was great. So I think there were a few themes that were recurring throughout the whole meeting. The biggest takeaway for me was that our field, our retina field, is moving away from just reacting to the condition, diagnosing the condition, looking at the imaging modalities, and then treat the patient, to earlier diagnosis, earlier treatment, longer acting treatment options to reduce the burden of treatment, reduce the burden of disease. And the part that was particularly interesting to me was the newer use of imaging modalities and technology in a lot of the presentations that were discussed during the Macular Society. One of the bigger themes was, as we said, the longer lasting medications, the analysis, the secondary analysis of some of the data that we previously saw. And then the newer technology, AI, which was interesting because it was discussed specifically in some of the papers, but the use of AI and machine learning algorithm was pretty much sprinkled through the whole meeting in a lot of other presentations and discussions, not just as an outcome, but as a tool to diagnose the conditions, screen patients, and so forth.
Yeah, no, that's really important because a lot of this is about new technologies, but there was also a lot of learnings about existing technologies. And actually, that's a good segue to talk about. I feel like this year was, there's a lot of, our field has continuously evolved. And, back in the old days, I remember we used to only have three drugs to worry about, and now we have like dozens with many emerging. And so a lot of the current controversies are about like, what do we do? How are the current drugs? So an example would be for neovascular AMD. We have obviously both aflibercept 8 milligrams as opposed to 2 milligrams, as well as faricimab. And so there was some data that were presented on these new biomarkers. For example, in the PULSAR study, in the aflibercept 8 milligrams was shown to have better reduction of pigment epithelial detachments, or PEDs. And then in the, I think Jesse Jung also presented about the Tenaya and Lucerne study, which is for faricimab, where they found that there was better reduction of these SHRMs or subretinal hyperreflective material. My question to you is, do you get a sense of like how important are these biomarkers? Like, what does that tell you? How does that help you in the clinical practice?
That's a very good question. Historically and traditionally, we only used to look at subretinal fluid or intraretinal fluid to treat the patient or not treat the patient.
Right.
Now we have these newer imaging biomarkers, which existed before, but we were not paying that much attention because we didn't have that much data on what PED means in these patients long-term, what SHRM means in these patients long-term. And also there were some data on GA, geographic atrophy patients, looking at EZ line, ellipsoid zone line attenuation and the effect that's integrity and attenuation has on the patient's visual outcome and vision function. So I think we're going to see more of these imaging biomarkers in the future used as endpoints in clinical trials. FDA still hasn't approved any of these biomarkers as an endpoint and outcome, acceptable outcome for clinical trials. But I think these are some of the things that we are going to see in the future that our field is moving towards and we're going to see as outcomes in clinical trials.
Mm. So another interesting study that came out this year was the results of the ELARA study. So that was for aflibercept 8 milligrams, where this was a phase 3B looking at patients who are previously treated, unlike those in the original PULSAR study, which are more of the treatment-naive patients. And there was also flexible dosing that helped, the results of that helped guide the expansion of the aflibercept 8 milligram label to allow for more flexible dosing. Has that really helped you increase your utilization of the drug of aflibercept 8 milligrams for a broader patient population for you?
Previously, we had issue getting insurance approval for patients who needed more frequent dosing of aflibercept 8 milligrams. The result of this study helped expand the label and also will help us use this medication more frequently in clinic and more easily accessible for patients. Mm-hmm. And very interesting part of the results of that study was that the patients actually had some improvement in their visual acuity, despite the fact that they were not treatment-naive patients. They were previously treated with a lot of anti-VEGF agents in the past. So we see that switching patients from other medications to newer medications can have some visual benefits for the patients as well.
That's good.
Yeah. What about some of the dry macular degeneration and geographic atrophy studies that you saw at the Macula Society?
Yeah, so this has always been a very controversial area in our field. I would say that currently our retina colleagues, some people really strongly believe in the use of complement inhibitors, and some colleagues are waiting for that critical long-term visual improvement data. As you know, both for Derby and Oak study, as well as the GATHER 1 and GATHER 2 study, both pegcetacoplan and avacincaptad-pegol showed reduction in geographic atrophy over time, but there was never really any study that showed that there was a benefit visually. And so we were really hoping that as time goes on and there's longer and longer time, that we would see more difference in the actual visual acuity outcome. So at the meeting, Dilshad Dhoot actually presented some of the now 5-year data, which is very exciting, coming from the pegcetacoplan trials. Now, one challenge I find was that a lot of the focus was still on the anatomy. It was just as we expected. There was a further divergence of the plots. We saw that the patients with geographic atrophy on pegcetacoplan were getting more benefit anatomically over time. But one thing I really was hoping to look for was that visual acuity outcome that was not really presented. There was also some concerns because there were some patients that were lost to follow-up and there was some kind of imputation of data and projections of where they would have been. So I think that was not as enlightening as I had hoped, but it was definitely still interesting to see that patients were still benefiting from it in terms of anatomy as well as kind of long-term safety of the product.
Yeah, that's great. And the great part about those results was that I didn't see a lot of intraocular inflammation. The numbers were pretty much the same as what we heard and saw in the literature before.
Mm-hmm. Please join us for the next part of our discussion on 49th Annual Macula Society meeting.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download your Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing, Medical News Roundup, or just ask, "What's my flash briefing?" Thanks today to our guests, Doctors Yu and Imami. Join me next time for the episode where we'll cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.